Well, let's pray as we open our hearts to God's word. Father, I just thank you for the word of the Lord. I know that it speaks to us today. It speaks truth to us. It speaks life-changing truth. These words are spirit and they are life to us. And Father, I pray that we would never take it lightly, but take it as it is, the word of God. Speak to us, Father. Lord, that we might fully obey. Lord, that we might fully believe and walk in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're at a brief series called Praying for a Change. It is about the power of prayer to change things. It's about us taking advantage of the tremendous opportunity and privilege that we have in prayer. We're going to begin with James 5:16 tonight. It says, confess your trespasses to one another. NIV says faults. And pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your sins, your faults to one another. He didn't say to a priest. He said to one another. That's a community of grace. We need that kind of community in the body of Christ where we can ask others to pray for us about our sins, about our weaknesses. Did you know that's not done much in the body of Christ in America? We say, oh, well, that's my business. That ain't any of their business. I'm telling you, we're missing out. Because we need others to pray for us. That's why the Bible teaches, tells us, confess your sins, your faults to one another. Pray for one another. There's something very powerful about praying for one another. And he says that you may be healed. When he says healed, he is certainly speaking of physical healing, but it's not only that. That same word is used in Luke 4:18 when Jesus said he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. In another place, it was used where it said that he healed those of evil spirits. It also means to make whole. And I'm just telling you that God uses our prayers for one another to do miracles. Go on there in James 5:16. We'll keep reading. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You know, last week I didn't really give you the background of this passage of Scripture, but Elijah wasn't just playing with the weather. It wasn't like, hey, y'all, watch this. Listen, it's always about people. That's really the only thing on this planet that God cares about is people. And it's always about people. So it wasn't about the weather. That was just something that God was using to get the people's attention and to turn their hearts back to God. But it's always about people. He said the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, what is this about? It's about people. And prayer is very powerful for changing people. That's what this was about. Powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has made us righteous by faith. We believe, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when we pray, we're praying as those who have been made righteous. And listen, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. When we pray, we're not praying like 2 class citizens in the kingdom that, well, you know, we better get somebody else to pray because God won't listen to me. Listen, if we have confessed our sins, God has forgiven us and cleansed us, and we pray as a righteous man, our prayers are powerful and effective. You need to know that such tremendous power is available to see lives changed. And if we believe that, we will pray. We will pray. I say it often because it's such a strong deception. A lot of people think the reason that they don't pray is because they're busy. It is not. If you believe that prayer works, you will find a way. You'll make room for prayer if you don't have time to do anything else. If you don't have time to eat or bathe, you'll make time to pray if you believe it works. And I'm telling you tonight, the Bible says that it is powerful and effective when we pray. You know, we need to start praying more for others, because there's so much power available to see their lives changed. It'll change your family. It'll change your friends. It'll change ministers. It'll change leaders. It'll change the backslider. It'll change the lost. You know, we talked about this last week in a negative light. It's not hard to look around and see people that need change. I mean, it's, you know, you can see those that are apathetic about the Lord. You see those that have just drifted away from God. You see those that are struggling or battling in some area of their life, or they're just missing it. And oh, how they need prayer. They need God to intervene in their life. And most of us, you know, we don't have trouble seeing where people need change. But too often what happens is that we criticize and complain, and maybe sometimes we even gossip about them, we talk about them. But what if we decided to pray for a change? They have a free will. And I'm going to tell you that God is not going to take away their free will. And guess what? Neither are you. You can't make anybody do right. Most of the time when we try to change people by our own means, we just frustrate ourselves and frustrate the person we're trying to change. What if we just prayed for a change? The number one failing method to change someone is to talk about them. You can criticize, you can discuss it with your family and friends, you can point out their faults, you can try to get everybody up on a team that, hey, this person is doing wrong, look at them, they're not where they ought to be. We can all talk about it and have a big team meeting about how they're not doing right. Guess what? It won't change them, not for the better. Never works that way. Talking bad about people is never the way that God works. That doesn't accomplish the will of God. The number two failing method for getting somebody to change is to nag them, to criticize them and critique them. You can find fault and compare. You can browbeat them. You can pester them, whatever you want to call it. You can tell them every day, 10 times a day, and guess what? It just won't work. Won't work on your spouse. Won't work on your kids. You say, well, it worked a little bit. I'm telling you, it did more harm than good. Won't work on your coworkers. Won't work on your neighbor. If we want to see other people change, we should try praying for a change. Don't gripe about your family, your kids, your spouse. Pray. Don't complain about your church, its leaders, especially the pastor. Pray. Pray. See, the music, the worship, the message, something needs to change in the church. Well, we got together and we had a talk about it. Pray. There are things that need to change in every home, in every church. There's things that need to change. I request your prayer. Please pray for me. I need God's help every day. But most people spend too much time and energy and effort complaining. And you know what that does for you? Well, number one, it'll lower your level of faith. Because you're talking, you're exalting the negatives. You're just glorying in it. That doesn't attract the Lord. Not the way you want, anyway. But let me tell you something else it'll do for you. It'll raise your blood pressure. Now, it might make your old flesh feel good. I'm talking about your sinful nature when I say flesh. It might make your old sinful nature feel good, but I'm going to tell you, it's not good for your body. It's hard on you. But when you pray, just the opposite happens. It starts growing your faith the more you pray. And when you pray, and I'm talking about really praying where you believe God, you know, your blood pressure goes down. You start having peace about that situation, even though maybe you haven't seen it change yet. But if you believe, you can already have a peace that passes understanding. Sometimes people say, well, I'm praying for them. Let's pray for so-and-so. And they're really just using it as an opportunity to talk about somebody. But I'm telling you, if we'll put aside all of the talk and instead just talk to the Lord about them. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Oh, we need to get a hold of that. My prayers avail much. They get a whole lot done. It makes a difference. There's so much accomplished through the prayer of a righteous man. And when you pray for someone else, there is power that is released in their life. God answers prayer. Say, well, I don't know if that'll work. See, we need to remove the doubt. We need to see, if you don't believe that God's going to answer your prayer, well, you're probably right. No, we got to believe. We got to believe and receive. And then Jesus says you will have them. So we got to settle that. Well, it's Mark 11:24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, you will have them. So we need to believe, praying for other people, that God is going to move and God's going to work. Now, I know sometimes people pull scriptures out of context and they use and abuse the Word of God. And it says here in this verse, he says, whatever things you ask when you pray. So just whatever I ask, anything I want to ask, you got to interpret Scripture in the light of the rest of Scripture. There's a lot of things, in fact, the King James says, whatever you desire. I tell you, there's a lot of things that people desire that are ungodly. That doesn't mean God's going to answer their ungodly prayer. It's talking about that when we're praying in the will of God, when we're really praying in faith based on the Word of God, whatever things you ask. First John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. That confidence, it comes when you pray according to the will of God. We know He hears us, and we know that we have what we've asked of Him. So here's the key. How do we know the will of God? And especially when you're praying for other people, how do you know the will of God? I mean, most of us can barely know the will of God for our own life, much less somebody else's, right? But first and foremost, we pray according to the Word of God. Simple things, simple truths throughout the Word of God that tell us what His will is for people. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I see in His Word that He made provision for our healing, that Jesus bore wounds on His back that we might be healed. I know that he wants people to be healed. In our key text tonight, we read it. Pray for one another that you may be healed. We know it's his will for people to get close to him, for people to have a personal relationship with him. So many things that the scripture makes it clear that it's God's will. Second, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our prayer. If we're really sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listen, he guides us into truth, and he can certainly give us wisdom and direction in how to pray for somebody. And third, we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. He prays according to the will of God. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Been there? But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What a great way to pray for others, just to let the Spirit pray through you. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:28, he talks about all of the things he's been through, and then he says this, he says, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. You think you got a prayer list? You know, we're praying for the church. This man was praying for all these churches, new churches that he had been a big part of starting. And he has this huge burden, this concern for all these churches. And so daily he has this burden to pray for them. How did he know how to pray for all those churches? I know one thing he did. 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15, he said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. Real simple, real clear. He says, I'm going to pray both ways. I'm going to pray with the understanding, and I'm also going to pray in the spirit. Where my mind is unfruitful, I don't know what I'm saying, but God does. Did the Apostle Paul do this very often? Well, just a couple of verses later, he makes it pretty clear. Verse 18, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, I don't think he was bragging. I think he's just making the point of how often he did this, that he did it all the time. He said, I do it more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. He did a whole lot of private praying in tongues. He said, more than everybody else. That's what he said. You know why? Because he had a deep concern for all the churches. He had a whole lot of praying to do. A lot of things, you know what? It wasn't like it is now. We can Skype with them and see what's going on. We'll call them up on the phone. We can go on Facebook, see what's happening. Listen, these churches would be hundreds of miles away, and just once in a while, he might get word of how things were going there, might get a letter of how things were going there. There was a whole lot of praying. Well, he didn't know what was going on most of the time, but the Holy Spirit does. What a powerful way to pray. Prayer changes people. So when we pray, this is how you do it. You pray when you know what to pray. Sometimes you know what needs to be prayed. And you pray when you don't know what to pray. You pray in the Spirit. That's the way Paul did it. Prayer is not something for our whims, our selfishness. It is to see the kingdom of God come. It is to see His will done on earth as it is in heaven. I know that a lot of people have this attitude that God's going to do what He's going to do, whether we pray or not. And if they were God, that's what they would do. But they're not God. And the one who is, listen, the Scripture says, His Word says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, you have not because you ask not. God says, we don't have, sometimes we don't have because we haven't asked. And it doesn't matter what the religious world says. That's what the truth of God's Word says. It's because we haven't asked. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking, and you'll receive. Listen, that verb, ask, is a linear verb. It doesn't mean, well, I asked one time. It means you ask and you will receive. You just keep asking and you're going to receive. But you got to ask. Now, let me tell you when it's time to stop asking. When you know you've received. When you believe you received. Listen, you don't have to see it yet. You just have to have it in your heart. Jesus said, what things you desire when you pray, believe you receive, you shall have them. So once you believe you received it, you don't have to ask anymore because you've already received it. You're going to have it. But most of the time, people just quit praying too soon. Pray. Never give up. Luke 18:1, Jesus told a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You ever been praying for somebody and you just got discouraged because it seemed like it wasn't working? Sometimes you're praying for somebody and it just gets worse. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Jesus goes on and he tells the parable of the unjust judge and how this unjust judge finally gives in to this widow woman because he says, lest she weary me. She's just going to wear me out, so I'm going to go ahead and do what she wants. And some people think that he's saying that's how God is. No, he's certainly not. He said, how much more will our Heavenly Father avenge His own people who cry out night and day? But in verse 8, he ends it with this. He says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Yes, Lord. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be believing. I'm going to be standing in faith. How about you? We're not going to give up. We need to be praying for those people that don't know the Lord. Praying for Christians that act like they don't know the Lord. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our worship team. Did you know the devil hates worship? He hates it. He always is working against anybody that's involved in worship. Pray for them. Somebody missing church, pray for them. You know somebody that's involved in things they shouldn't be, pray for them. Don't talk about them, pray for them. Pray for those that are going through a battle, they be strengthened in the inner man. Here's one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. There's a great prayer. You know, I believe these prayers are recorded for us, to help us to know how to pray for people. And there's a great prayer. It's in the Bible. It's in the Scripture for a reason. You can pray that prayer. That's according to the will of God, praying that God will strengthen somebody in the inner man. What a great prayer, powerful prayer. Sometimes, you know, we get the attitude that maybe somebody is just too far gone, just too rotten. pray for them. Don't give up. Don't quit praying for them. That's a sin. Well, that's what Samuel said. 1 Samuel 12:23. He said, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Don't stop praying for people. Pray for the lost. Don't do it like this. "Well, Lord, just save everybody." First of all, you ain't got faith for that. Let me tell you, pick somebody out. Zero in on somebody. Pray that person into the kingdom. Start lifting their name up before the Lord every day. And believe God that they're actually going to get saved. You're not just hoping, you're believing that they're going to get saved. Pray that their eyes will be opened. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." You got to pray for them and bind the powers of darkness. Jesus said, if you're gonna take a strong man's goods, you first got to bind the strong man. And so if we're expecting somebody to get saved, somebody's going to turn to the Lord, it's going to happen because somebody was praying. Now, somebody's got to witness to them. Somebody's got to minister to them. And I'm telling you, you can't do it without the prayer. Pray. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. God will change people. If you think that God doesn't change people, you hadn't read the Bible. I'm going to say it again. I know that people have a free will, and the Lord isn't going to take away their free will. That doesn't mean that there's nothing that God can do. He deals with people. He can set things in motion. He can send somebody to speak to them to say just the right thing. I'm telling you, God can work it out one way or another. The one who spoke the worlds into being, I'm telling you, he can deal with somebody's will. I love this story in Acts chapter 10, where a man named Cornelius, he's not even a born-again believer, but he is a God-fearing man who prays and he gives to the poor, and God hears and sees this man's prayer and his giving. He is worshiping God in the revelation that he has. And so, he tells him, he sends an angel to speak to him, and he tells him to send for Simon Peter. Then God is dealing with Simon Peter, where he shows him these unclean animals, lowers them down on a sheet, and tells him to rise, kill, and eat. And Peter's response is, "Not so, Lord." We're talking about lots and lots of strong tradition. He says, "Not so, Lord." Now, Peter knew better than to tell the Lord no, but he must have thought this was some kind of trick or something. He says, "Not so, Lord." But he showed it to him three times, and he told him, "Don't call unclean what I have called clean." Then, when the men from Cornelius' house get there, Peter goes with them and ministers the gospel to them. And I want to tell you something. God saved Cornelius and his house, changed their lives. But did you know he also had to change Peter? Peter loved God. Peter wanted to obey God. But these traditions had such a stronghold on him that God had to give him this vision, not once, but three times. Did you know some of us have some traditions and some mindsets that need to change? Some of you know it. You're thinking, "Yeah, I know somebody that needs to change big time." God can change them. He can send an angel. He can give them a vision. He can put them in the belly of a fish. You talk about changing somebody's attitude. I'm telling you, how about old Jonah? Lord tells him to go to Nineveh and preach. He doesn't want to go. He goes the wrong direction. You know the story. They throw him overboard, gets swallowed by a big fish. After 3 days, how does it take 3 days when you're in, you know, it's not like you see in the cartoon, you know. When you're in the belly of a fish, you can't see nothing. You're in a fish gut. I'm sure you can smell something. And if you open your mouth, you can probably taste something. But listen, took him 3 days to get his attitude right. God didn't take away his free will. He just helped him change it. Don't tell me that God can't change somebody. And sometimes when you pray for somebody, they're going to spend 3 days in the belly of a fish. And that's okay. But God can change them. And you see, one of the things that we got to tear down tonight is that old stronghold. Oh, there's not really anything we can do. Yes, there is. The fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful. It's effective. It avails much. It's no little deal. It's a big deal. Great power is available to us when we pray. Pray. Pray for believers that they'll grow and mature in the faith, be who God wants them to be. Love this prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Listen, you start praying like that for people, something's going to happen. Open their eyes, Father. Help them to see. Help them to understand. Changes things. Colossians 4:12. I like the way the NIV says this one. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Wow, that's the kind of friend you want. Somebody who's always wrestling in prayer for you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Wrestling in prayer for you. Not throwing up a prayer, wrestling in prayer for other people. You know, sometimes when you are in a great struggle, you get weary, you get tired. You need somebody else to wrestle in prayer for you. Sometimes when you're sick, when you're down, it's hard to stand and fight. You need somebody else to wrestle in prayer for you. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. I know that I myself have endured many things that in my own strength I was not able. It was because others were praying for me. In fact, there's been times when I sensed it in my spirit that somebody was praying for me. And I'm sure there were countless times that I was unaware, but it's somebody else's prayer that made the difference. In Ephesians 6:18 through 20, after talking about the armor of God, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray, pray, pray. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I'm telling you, if Paul needed people to pray for him, I sure need people to pray for me to speak his word as I ought to. And say, oh, well, you know, Pastor, if it just was a little, you know, if it just wasn't so boring, we might could get people to come and get saved. Pray! Just pray. Paul asked for prayer over and over. Here's another example. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, he said, brethren, pray for us. Prayer will change your life, but it'll also change somebody else's. Have you ever had a time in your life when you knew that it was just the prayer of somebody else that got you through? Maybe even it was because somebody else was praying for you that actually saved your life. I'm telling you, prayer makes the difference. When you pray for others, it's powerful. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that I don't understand yet. I'm learning, I'm growing. But there are difficult things that happen. We don't have all the answers. An example of that is in Acts chapter 12, where King Herod arrested some of the believers, and two of those were Peter and James, the brother of John. And James was beheaded. It was kind of, I think, just from the way it seemed to happen in the scripture, I think it was kind of quick. And the church heard about it and they started to pray for Peter. So they're having a prayer meeting. And Peter comes knocking on the door. God set him free. Got him out. Answered their prayers. I don't understand why it happened the way that it did, why it couldn't have been both of them in this instance. But I do know this, that God answered the prayers of the church, and they couldn't hardly believe it. When a young lady said, Peter's at the door, they thought she was out of her mind. But God did answer their prayer. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference when we pray for people. We need to pray for others every day. This is the way it's supposed to work. And sometimes we need to encourage one another with these biblical words. I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Let people know that you prayed for them. Moms and dads, you keep praying for your kids. Wrestle for them. Just make up your mind you're not going to let the enemy have them. Wrestle for them. Just keep praying for them. Keep praying for our worship team. Pray for those that are forsaken the assembling of themselves together, that don't think it's important to go to church anymore. Pray for them. Pray for those that have been deceived, that are heading the wrong way. Pray for them. Pray for those that have believed some silly false doctrine that's messing them up. Let's pray for them. God can send somebody. God can give them a vision. God can intervene. But listen, he won't if we don't pray. We got to pray. Stand with me. We're going to pray right now. And just let's just let God have his way in us tonight, would you? Let's just do that. And listen, as we pray, God may be dealing with you about something, but he may just put somebody or something on your heart. And I say something, I want you to know it has to do with people. It's about people. But let's just be led of the Lord and let God show us. Let God speak to our heart what we need to pray about, who we need to pray for. Father, I just thank you for each and every one of these tonight. I believe, Lord, you are calling them to prayer. I believe, Lord, you're raising up intercessors. You're raising up people that will pray for others and change the world, change lives because of their prayer, Lord. Things are going to happen. Lord, strongholds are going to come down. I believe, Father, that you will hear our prayer and that you respond. Oh, Father, you are so powerful and awesome and mighty. Help us, Lord, to believe you and stand to see you move each and every day. Father, we will not shrink back in fear in the face of darkness, Lord, of the immorality in our world. But, Lord, we're going to stand up and in faith, we're going to believe and pray. Lord, we're going to expect. Lord, we're going to see it happen in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving and working throughout the earth today. And I pray, Father, in our world, in our sphere of influence, oh, Father, more and more, may we see your hand at work. May we see lives changed, answered prayers. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it, Father. Be glorified, Lord. Lord, may we ever give you the praise and the glory and the honor. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. You're so worthy. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pray. Pray for others. God will use your prayer. He will respond to your prayer. Pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.